to live in His presence. Psalm 132. This is really interesting. The Lord led me to this. And as I'm meditating on it, that's where all of this came out of. It says, Lord, remember David and all of his afflictions, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob, surely I will not go into the chamber of my house, nor go up to the comfort of my bed, nor will I give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. Come on, this is quite a picture. He said, I'm not satisfied until we bring the presence of God into Jerusalem and put God where He needs to be. And listen to what he's saying, man. I'm not sleeping. I'm not going to get comfortable. I'm going to pursue this with all of my heart. And I think for us to continue to walk in an area where God's presence is always there, we have to be steady on it. We have to want it. We have to strive for it. And I'm not saying that we have to have works to get it, but we have to endeavor in our lives to be filled with His presence. And we can be. It's awesome. And we're not going to give up until you prepare a place for God's presence. Come on. I'm not going to give up until I prepare a place for God's presence. I'm going to have that dang dog determination that God, I love Your presence. I love being in Your presence. But I need to be more aware of Your presence. If you think about it, He said that He'd never leave us nor forsake us, right? And He said that when Jesus went away, He was going to send the Comforter. He wasn't just going to be with us. He was going to be in us. So in a real sense, we have the presence of God all the time. Right? I mean, but do we always partake of it? Do we always pursue it? Do we always put, you know, an effort into realizing it and making that a part of who we are, part of our daily lifestyle? It's really interesting. We'll go to a few scriptures to talk about that. But you know what? If you want more of His presence, then you have to do something to change. Thank you for your enthusiasm. If you want more of His presence, then there are steps that you have to take in order for that to change. I was scrolling on Facebook today, and I came across this man who's an incredible guy. He's went through, and I don't remember his name, but he went through the SEALs training, he went through the Ranger training, and the Air Corps. The only one in the history to go through all three. But he started out in where his dad left him. Dad beat his wife and his mom and all of that stuff. And he got to the place when he was about 23 or 24 where he was way overweight, and he was just letting life happen to him. And man, to hear him talk, and again, the language was not what I would consider a Christian, right? But the point was, I had to come to the place where I wanted change so bad that I would suffer whatever it took to get that change to happen, right? I'm gonna pursue. I'm not gonna give up. I'm gonna get up every day pursuing the pursuit. And now, man, he's just chiseled, runs all kinds of marathons, picks up everything. I mean, I think he did, it's crazy, he did pull-ups for like 17 hours. Something was just crazy, did so many pull-ups. But this was a guy that was completely overweight and completely. But you see, he wanted change so bad that he did what was necessary for that change to happen. I heard John Osteen years ago, he preached a sermon, and it was, how bad is your want to? How bad is your want to? Because the degree that you want something is the degree that you'll do whatever it takes to get it. Right? It's kind of, well, you know, I'd like to get a new car, but I really don't want to, you know, get another job to be able to afford the payment. So your want to is not very, because if you really wanted to the point that it started controlling your life, you'd do whatever's necessary to get what you wanted. Are you listening to me? Right? So it's kind of like, how bad do we want to live in a constant state of awareness of His presence? And we're going to talk about a few steps of that. But His presence is awesome. And He's really with us all the time. He's concerned about everything that you're concerned about. And we're going to look at that. But go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46.
Pastor, can I say something?
Sure.
I saw this on Facebook, and it applies. The guy says, I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me, is what he's really saying.
Yeah.
That's the real question. Is there no one who can do anything for me? That's because in this day and age, that's how a lot of these, you know, grown men act. I've tried everything and nothing works, but that's not really what they've done.
And watch this. This is so incredible, because what we want to do is we want to put the responsibility on us getting something or able to achieve something on somebody else. Right? If the pastor would just pray more, I'd feel more of His presence. Well, that limits your ability to be in the presence of God on me. Right? And God never designed it that way. He didn't design it that way. And there's many people that are going, well, they owe me this and they owe me that. And they did this to me and they did that to me and that. And I understand it. All those things are terrible. But the reality, the only one that's keeping you from achieving what you want is you. But you have to change, and change is hard. Right? Change is hard. I love this. All of us want to be extraordinary. Right? We'd all like to be extraordinary. But extraordinary change takes extraordinary effort. Right? But we want the extraordinary without the effort. Well, they do, and there's a lot of Christian welfare going on where God's presence is concerned. If He's always available to us, then why aren't we living in it? Psalm 46 and verse 10. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I'm God. The first thing that we have to learn is how to be still. How to carry stillness throughout our day. Did you know that you can spend all of your life and be so wrapped up in things going back and forth that you can never hear God because you're just wrapped up in your own head and what other people are telling you, whatever. And God says, stop. And become still. In other words, wait on me. So the first step of living in the presence of God is waiting on God and practicing that principle. And again, yeah, but that's hard. Well, how bad do you want to? How bad do you want the presence of God in? Are you going to set aside time and learn how to get in His presence? Because once you learn it and once you discipline yourself in it, it's easy to do. All you have to do is say, okay, Lord, I'm just quieting myself down right here, right now, because I want to be still and be in the knowledge that You're with me. Right? Now again, when things are going good, that's great. I mean, you know, hallelujah, praise the Lord, you know, great. But when life throws everything at you, or the boss is bawling you out, or the doctor tells you this, or your husband's being a jerk, or whatever it is, right? That's when you have to say, no, I'm going to remove myself from the temporary, and I'm going to enter the eternal. Right? This stuff is going to pass away, but for eternity, I'm going to be in the presence of God. So God, I'm just going to believe your word that you'd never leave me nor forsake me. So all I have to do is say, Father, in Jesus' name, and you're right here. And then learn to quiet your mind down enough to hear what your spirit is saying to you. So be still and know that I am God. Go to Psalm 4. Psalm 4. Glory to God. And you know, I love David, and he had such a passion for the manifested presence of God, which was in the tabernacle and you know, in the Ark of the Covenant and all of that. But how much more should we be relying on that now? Because he doesn't dwell in a temple made by hands, but he dwells in the temple that are our bodies, right? I don't have to go someplace. I don't have to be in a meeting somewhere. I don't have to have the perfect song come on for me to be in the presence of God. The first thing that I need to do is I need to believe that He is, as Hebrews 11:6 says. I need to believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So what does that mean? What we're talking about tonight. What that means is just this, that if I seek His presence, I'm going to find His presence because He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. Glory to God. Verse 1, it says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. How long, O sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness, seek falsehood, Selah? But know that I, the Lord, has set apart for Himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to Him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. In other words, from our standpoint, it's like, listen, I've been made to worship God, and I am going to set the course of my life in worship. When that's going to be my default program, I'm going to be still and know that it is God. So when I'm coming up against obstacles, which we all will, Jesus said, come on, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good courage. Right? And I love this, that courage is not the absence of fear, but it's standing up to fear based on who you are. Right? Courage is mean, I mean, my knees are knocking and I may not know what I'm going to do, and it seems really scary out there, or I don't know how I'm going to get through all of this, but I'm going to stand up and be courageous because I know that God has a plan for me, that He hasn't left me, and I'm just going to live in His presence. Isn't that good? Come on. I just have to believe that. Now go to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. I want to hear His voice all the time. And we're going to get into that in a minute. I think God is speaking all the time. Yeah. And we'll catch that up with that in just a minute. But Psalm 84, verse 4 says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed be the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Now, what this refers to for me is that I need to be a person who sets his heart on the presence of God. I need to set my life like, okay, I'm going to live in the presence of God or I'm not going any further. Right? God, you're going to be with me. I'm going to know it, or else I'm not going any further. Lord, unless it's like the man who was with the angel, they're wrestling all night, right? And Jacob and finally he said, The angel said, "Man, I got to go, man. You got to let go of me." He said, "I'm not going to let go until you bless me." In other words, I'm going to stick with this pursuit until I learn to live in His presence. Now, I'm not saying you're always going to feel His presence, but I think you can get to the place in your faith where you know that He's always with you. And so your default is, "God, I don't know what to do, but You do, and so I'm just going to trust You with this." Come on, this wasn't my plan for me to be here where I am. This wasn't what I had in mind, but God, I know that You're with me and that You'll lead me and that You'll guide me. It's living with the attitude and the knowing that God is there. God is for you. God is wanting to lead and direct your life. Amen? I mean, do you doubt that? So the reality is that we've got to begin to speak that to ourselves. We have to begin to speak it to ourselves. When ourselves is trying to run over this way or question whether God is for us, we got to say, "Now listen, Bruce, shut up." Right? Be still and know that He's God and that He's with you. And it was just last week I was rehearsing over in my mind just the whole thought of the day that I got saved and how incredible the experience of having my heart changed was. And I went, but some of us, here's what happens, is we have that experience and God does such a work and we just go, "Wow, this is incredible. I can't explain it to anybody, but this is incredible. I know that I know that I know that God loves me. He's with me, and that's cool." And then we blow it. We do something to mess up. And we go, "Oh, I guess I just nullified all that." And the enemy will agree with you. He'll just, yep. You know, God really had something for you, but you messed up. And so down the road, Jack, maybe you'll get a shack in the edge of glory somewhere, but forget that mansion. The mansion's out of the question now, but the reality is no, Jesus' blood was enough. And He covered every sin that you've committed, every sin that you're going to commit. So when you get in that position, what you need to do is run back in faith, knowing that if you come to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. But the enemy and even our shame would like us to run from the presence of God when He's saying, "No, I want you to run to the presence of God." And you do that by faith. Come on, we do that by faith. This is what God said. This is what... So I just believe that. So we need to just have the attitude that when things start getting too loud out here, we've got to get to the place where, "No, I'm just going to be still and know that He's God." So we have to practice being still or practice waiting on Him. Amen? Go to Joshua chapter 1. I believe with all of my heart that God has a purpose for every believer. That includes everybody that's sitting here right today, right? I said, God has a purpose for every believer. He has a purpose for your life. And you go, "Well, yeah, He might have when I was 20. Or He could have when I was a teenager. But man, I'm way past that now, and so therefore I am disqualified from His purpose." And see, that's such a lie. Such a lie. All you have to do is look in the Bible. Abraham was old when God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees. Moses was old, right, when he became the leader. And so the purpose isn't defined by our age. The purpose is defined by His providence and His sovereignty. And so we can't let anything deter us from His presence, because in His presence we'll find the purpose. Joshua chapter 1. So the first step to living in the presence of God is learning how to be still in His presence. The second step, now watch this, and it's really closely connected with the first step, is Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You see, waiting on God without having the Word backing up can lead you into places that you don't want to go. The Word of God is the grounding rod that keeps us to where we know. Because the enemy will, I mean, even to Jesus, you know, the enemy came and he said, well, you know, it's written such and such. And Jesus said, I don't know, but it's written, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. In other words, we have to have the Word of God continually on our heart and on our mind. And it's really interesting. The word meditate here means to mutter. What does that mean? To talk to yourself. Talk to yourself. You talk to yourself all the time, but what are you saying to yourself? Because some of what you're saying to yourself is keeping you from the realization that God would be present in your situation if you'd allow Him to be. So rather than talking your circumstances, begin to talk the promises that the Word holds. And so to meditate means I'm going to think about and utter the Word of God constantly. Constantly. But Lord, this is what this says. Lord, this is what this says. Lord, this is what this says. And what that does is it grounds you so that when you hear the voice of God, you can then take the Word of God and make it line up so that you know that you're on solid footing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is the evidence that the Word is true and it's a reality in your life. So first we need to be still and know that God is God. But secondly, we need to be meditating on the Word of God, talking to ourselves about what the Word says rather than what our feelings say or rather than what other people's opinions are saying or even our circumstances are saying to us. Does that make sense? So it's kind of, Lord, I'm just going to meditate on your word. I'm constantly, constantly, constantly on your word. Because the word will guide you. One of the things that I try to do, I don't hit every day, but I try to do, is to read the proverb of the day. And it's amazing how those things will come up back in your life and start to guide your life. So if we're in the presence of the Word and the Word of God is currently on our lips and on our minds, then we're in the presence because the Word is the presence of God. Right? This is the living Word. There's a scripture in Proverbs that says, argue with a fool and you become one. Now, that's funny. But how many of us spend time trying to argue with somebody about something because they need to hear our point? And what we do is we enter into the foolishness rather than say, okay, I've learned this, that if I'm talking to somebody and they quit listening, the best thing to do is quit talking. And that leads us to the next place. Go to Deuteronomy. We're just a few pages back. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 20. How many love the Lord?
Hallelujah.
Come on, how many love the Lord? I mean, really, you love the Lord. Well, listen to this in verse 20. It says, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and length of days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give them. So if you love the Lord, Are you obeying the Lord? This thought of hear and obey, it was explained to me this way by somebody that I was listening to. He said in the Hebrew it kind of is this way. The Lord will speak something to you, but if you won't obey what He's telling you, then He's not going to speak to you. In other words, it's kind of like, listen, what's the last thing I said to you? Have you done it? If you want to live in the presence of God, hearing His voice, then you have to be instantly obedient to what He says. I want to be led by the Spirit of God. I want to have His witness on everything that we do. And we can do that if we'll spend time in His presence on a consistent basis and we bring the presence of God into every situation that we're in, all day long. You know, you don't have to wait. You know, if you wake up in the morning, you have a little devotion, that's awesome. And you go, Lord, I'm going to start my day. Here we go. You pray in tongues, you do worship, whatever you do. But it's really important to make sure that He's center chair in your devotions. In other words, God, I'm here and I know You're here. But then you don't have to wait till, well, the last thing at night, I'm just going to say a little prayer before I go to sleep. You can talk to Him when you first wake up. You talk to Him before you leave the house. You can talk to Him on the way to work or whatever you're doing. You can talk to Him at lunchtime. You can talk with Him, really? Come on. You know, one of the things we do, and it's so easy to do, you know, we're all out, we're sitting in a restaurant. Okay, somebody needs to pray over the food. And we say this prayer, and I usually pray pretty much the same thing all the time. That's not wrong, but am I really praying it to God like He's there? Or am I just saying it because that's the thing to do? Right? And so it's kind of like, okay, wait a minute, guys, let's refocus this whole thing and go, wait a minute, Lord, You're real, You're here, You're absolutely my Lord and my God, You love me, but God, I just want to be in Your presence, I want to hear Your voice, and God, I don't want to do anything to stop Your voice or stop You from speaking to me. So, Lord, if there's something that I've missed, which obviously there's a lot I've missed, then rehearse that to me and help me. Again, now watch this. I need to change from hearing from God and then just filing it somewhere to hearing God and immediately doing what He tells me. Right? And whatever that is. You know, if you're speaking, I want you to, you know, call so-and-so. Well, don't wait for 10 hours or 2 days or 3 days. Call so-and-so. Right? And don't worry about what, why or how. But that way God will keep speaking to you. Joshua 24. Again, how bad is your want to? How bad are you willing to? See, again, change only comes when you're willing to discipline yourselves in what's necessary to change. In other words, God, tomorrow I'm going to get up, I'm going to spend time with You. I'm going to start putting that in my daily routine. I'm going to get up a half hour earlier than I normally do, whatever time that is, because I'm going to spend time with You. I want to be in Your presence before I do anything. And you go, okay, set the alarm, 6 o'clock. I'm getting up. Getting up, the first day goes by, and you do it. Maybe do it the second day, but by the third day, you're hitting the snooze alarm. See, you're not willing to go through the suffering that your flesh is imposing upon you to get the result that you want. You've got to make a decision that until you know, this is not, I'm going to start it and see what happens. I'm going to start it and finish it. Because I want to live in the presence of God. Joshua 24:24. It says, "And the people said to Joshua, 'The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice will we obey.'" Right? That's what they said. Now, history proves out that they sometimes did, sometimes didn't. But I'm talking to you who are here on Tuesday night. So you're the core ones. You're the heavy hitters, right? And so it's like, how bad do we want His presence? And how much are we willing to develop a discipline to change our lives so that we're more aware of His presence on a consistent basis? If we are, all the tools are available for us to do that. We just got to follow up and begin to do them. Man, that's good, Pastor. That's good. Hallelujah. That's great. I want His presence more. Well, what are you going to do about it tomorrow? What are you going to do about it today? It's not repentance if you come up and go, "Man, that's good. I'm going to start tomorrow." Or tomorrow I got things to do. Maybe I'll start on Wednesday, Thursday. You've got to make that a priority and say, "God, no matter what happens, this is going to happen." Whew. Glory to God. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 12. First Samuel chapter 12 and verse 14. "If you fear the Lord and serve Him and obey His voice and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, both you and the king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord your God. However, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers." Now, in the Hebrew, this is more like you're going to reap the results of your rebellion. It's not like God is against you, but God has to allow the consequences of your choices to come to fruition. And it's kind of like we need to be in the position where, "Lord, I want to hear and obey." Obedience to what God has spoken to your heart. You all know this. We all do this. You know, we know we're convicted in our heart that God says, "Don't do this," but we just keep on doing it. Why? Because our will to change, to be in His presence, isn't strong enough to do whatever it takes to change. So what do you do with that? Well, if you want it bad enough, then you figure out what's necessary for me to do what God is asking me to do. A story, this is years ago, but a man who was called to the ministry and loved God, and but he had a half a rack Diet Coke addiction. He drank, this was years ago, but he drank it all the time, one after another, after another, after another. And it came to his heart that he was putting that over his relationship with God. And so what he said was, "From this day forward, I'll never have another Coke as long as I live." Now, he went through everything that everybody else would go with that, but his word and integrity concerning that commitment was stronger than the addiction. And if we aren't there, then we have to say, "God, help me with this. Because I don't want to sin against You. I want Your presence. I want You in my life." Now go back to Psalm 132. Because why should we do all that? I mean, after all, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Why in the world do I need to pursue His presence? Because, after all, I'm some glad morning I'm going to be with Jesus. Well, then we're just living our lives and going through the motions, but the reality is we're not supposed to live our lives for ourselves. I heard somebody say this, and it's just so awesome. The gifts of the Spirit show the power of God, but the fruit of the Spirit shows the presence of God. So the more that you're with God and the more that you're in and doing the way He wants you to and acting out of the fruits of the Spirit, the more people see God in you. Isn't that cool? That's really cool. You know, I want people to be able to see Jesus in me. I want my heart to be that way. I want my actions to be that way. And, you know, I don't hit that 100%, but that's what I'm striving for. Okay, Psalm 132, and go to verse 13. It says, "For the Lord has chosen Zion." And Zion, again, watch this. Zion was the, you know, talking about the hill where the presence of God was to remain and stay. "The Lord has chosen you and I to be a temple of His presence." Wow. 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 Do you know in the natural temple that was on the earth, there was so much power and glory there that if the priest didn't go in there exactly the way they were supposed to, they could end up dead. Why? Because God's glory was that strong. His glory is residing on the inside of you and me. And the Bible talks about don't defile the temple. Right? Why? Because the temple is where he rests and resides. "For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for His dwelling place." That's you. The Lord has desired you for His dwelling place. "This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it." That's the Lord speaking. "I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall flourish." See, spending time in the presence of God allows us to flourish as Christians. Come on, isn't that what we want? And it's not just that. It's like we want to be in the place where... What's different about you, man? What? I don't understand, but there's something different about you. And you can literally say, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. I've had that happen a few times in my life where you know, this man, you're facing the same stuff we are, and you just keep smiling. Why is that? Because I have the joy of the Lord, because I know His presence is with me. We have so many tools at our disposal, especially as believers. We have His Word. We know that His Spirit dwells within us. We, you know, we who are charismatic Christians who have been filled with the Holy Spirit, all we have to do is begin to pray in the Spirit, and we know that we're praying according to the perfect will of God and that He hears us. And the Bible says that when we pray in the Spirit, we're building ourselves up on the most holy faith. And yet, how many days, weeks, months go by before you spend any time praying in the Spirit? And the reality is, if we want to live in His presence, why wouldn't we? Come on, why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we just stop for a minute and just say, Lord, just close your eyes right now. Just, Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that allows me to come in His name before your throne of grace. So like right now, Lord, we're in your presence. Thank you, Lord. Lord, forgive us for hearing you and not obeying you. Have mercy on us, God, but we want to come again and we want to be like little children and just crawl up in your lap and allow you to speak what you would to us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. We take you at your word. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Lord, we love your presence. We love being in your presence. And Lord, we declare that you are our shepherd. So there's nothing that we have need of because you take care of us. You lead us into peace. You guide us, Lord. We just praise you. Thank you and honor you. Yeah, there's a lot of voices going on in my head, Lord, but I'm just ignoring them right now. And I'm just coming after you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for allowing me to be in your presence. Yeah. Yeah, you'll show me what to do. You'll take care of that. I trust you. I love you. I honor you. Thank you for allowing me to be in your presence. Father, I just pray over every person that's listening, both here in the room and via the internet. Lord, I just thank you, God, that you're with them. And I ask you to reveal to them your presence. Lord, as they get still before you, I just ask you to speak to them. Give them peace, Lord. Give them assurance that you're with them. And God, we ask for a supernatural release of your Spirit upon each person that's listening to these words. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for all that you've done in us. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, just get on your knees before him right now and say, Lord, I just receive you as my Lord and Savior. I need Jesus. Lord, if you can do anything with me, God, I'm available to you. I lay my life before you, and I make Jesus the Lord of my life. Do that right now. And if you did, you're a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. If you need anything, need any help, you know who to call. You can call me and just be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.